Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 8th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. You know, we just got back. We spent 6 days in Yosemite National Park with family, and it was wonderful to be there. So majestic. And I couldn't believe the vastness of the valley. It was just amazing. It was a wonderful experience and so happy that we were able to do it, particularly the hiking. I mean, here I am, a 79-year-old woman, hiking over those rocks in Yosemite was an amazing experience. I want to do a shout-out to my beautiful son-in-law, David Jensen, and his brother, Doug. I mean, they helped me over so many obstacles, I couldn't believe it. But what an experience it was to be able to make it, you know, to be able to make it, especially at this age, you know. So I encourage all you women out there, don't worry about how old you are. Just keep trying. Well, today I'm really very happy about today's show. We have some very interesting guests. Joining me in the studio is Keelan Walker, who recently competed in martial arts in Chengdu, Sius, China, on June 14th to the June 8th. Joining her is Nancy Wang, who is a dear friend and one of the founders and president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, who actually accompanied her granddaughter to China, and we're going to get her perspective also. I mean, it's just amazing. Our children are the future, and giving them skills like this are a way to help them develop into confident and productive human beings. I cannot express how proud I am to have these folks in our studio. I mean, if you hear a little bit of noise here, it's just we're just adjusting the mics, and you got to remember that we are live here, folks. Also joining me in the studio is another dear friend that's recently, and actually she's becoming a regular on our show, and I'm very excited to have her on again, Sabria Bray-Air. She's a member of Invisible Sonoma County and an active member of the local Democratic Party and volunteer for the city. And we'll be talking about the national protest that took place on Tuesday, July 2nd, Close the Camps. And Sabria is not a stranger to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to hearing her perspective about what happened and what is happening on the borders with our children. Well, congratulations. My goodness, the U.S. women's soccer team wins its fourth World Cup. The U.S. women's national team has won in France and will continue to fight for equal pay. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, I want to remind folks, you know, in 1972, I was sitting in my class at Sonoma State, and a letter came across, you know, that a young woman wanted to play in sports, and she was denied. And all of a sudden, there was a big uproar. Why can't women play more in sports? And it turned out that we changed Title VI. And Title VI says, no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So it's really wonderful that women today can play in sports, that can compete. And here we have the women's world soccer team from our country. Four times they won. An amazing thing. And, of course, there's a little controversy going on because one of their main players really spoke out and said that we need equal pay. And not only that, I'm not going to the White House, you know, because they discriminate. They're trying to discriminate against LGBT people and also women. So a shout out to the women's the women's soccer team. I am just so proud. And I know my daughter, Susan Jensen, she probably was watching it and just screaming her head off because she is a soccer player herself. Anyway, let's look at the 4th of July. How are our mics doing, Ken? Are they okay now, my love? Okay, we've got everything all set up now. And, you know, just a reminder, we are live, and that's the excitement of live radio. You know, you can really hear what's going on and get a sense of what is happening. Well, happy 4th of July to everyone. Independence Day, which is a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the Declaration of Independence of the United States on July 4th, 1776, when the Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain and were now united, free, and independent state. It was the beginning of the struggle of a new nation, which is the United States. And it's really interesting, you know, this year we had our president did a special celebration. He brought out all our military might, you know, and I don't understand what that was all about, because during the time when the Declaration of Independence was signed, they had no idea that they were going to war. There were shouts and there were feelings that they didn't know if Britain would let them go very easily. But the whole idea was we were independent and we needed to celebrate that independence. And it was, I don't know, it just felt very, very, very different this year. And I think we need to think about things a little bit here in the United States. We have to ask ourselves, are we just about war? Or are we about freedom? Are we about equal rights? You know, and that's what we're all struggling for right now. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. The 4th of July, I really, you know, it's very interesting. What I did is I sat down and I read the Declaration of Independence. And I thought to myself, if I were there at that time, I could feel the passion of wanting freedom and equal rights. And we all know there are many flaws at the beginning, many, many flaws. But the most important thing about our Constitution is that it left little gaps so we could fight for different things. You know, at the beginning, women didn't have the vote. Eventually, they did after we struggled like crazy for almost 75 years. But at least we had a country that we could struggle and we could make changes. It's very interesting when you start thinking about it. So I encourage people, please read your Constitution. It's very, very important. And read your Declaration of Independence and read the Bill of Rights. Oh, my God, when you read the Bill of Rights, you all of a sudden realize what a great idea. You know, Benjamin Franklin said it was an experiment, and I'd hate to see this experiment fail after all my life I have lived as a free woman, free agent. Well, I got a special announcement. The Santa Rosa City Council Climate Action Subcommittee is going to hold their second meeting, and it's very important. It's going to be happening this Wednesday at the Santa Rosa City Hall, and it's very important in downtown Santa Rosa. And it's called the CAS, C-A-S. They met for the first time on June 11th in the council chambers in Santa Rosa. The committee was appointed in early May by the mayor, and consists of the mayor, the vice mayor, Chris Rogers, and council member Julie Combs. And the CAS is charged with providing guidance and oversight of the implementation and update of the city's municipal climate action plan, with the goal of reducing the local greenhouse gas emissions and ensuring long-term sustainability and resilience from climate change and its effect in our community. And I know there's a group called Invisible that's very involved in it, because one of the things they want to do is they want to make sure that every city in Sonoma County and cities outside the county, we cover 18 counties here on KBBF, all of them need to have resolutions that claim that we are in a climate crisis and start really implementing plans to make sure that they happen. And like I said, the next meeting is going to be this Wednesday, at July 10th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the City Council Chambers on 100 Santa Rosa Avenue. And the public is encouraged to attend, and there is time for public comment. And it was really very interesting to hear all the people talk. And one of the things that happened, Chris Rogers, the vice mayor, challenged them. They said, look, whenever it's the cannabis group, the room is full. How about the climate group? And I'm proud to say that there were almost 65 people in that audience, and I think about 35 of them spoke. So it was a good turnout, and I hope we have another good turnout, and that's going to be on July 10th, 2019. Well, God, 2019, I can't believe it's July 8th. Where does time go? Where does time go? You know, I'm thinking about my great-granddaughter Satori is about ready to walk. And it's just amazing how, when you look at these young people, how amazing they really are. And I forgot, as a mother, I forgot what it takes to raise a child. I forgot what it's like the first year of their life, how much they need, the food they need, the milk they need, all the things that they need to survive. It just breaks my heart when I think of these young children at the borders being pulled from their parents. I mean, come on, guys. It doesn't make sense to me. This is not our country. This is not the United States of America. We don't do things like that, and it has to stop. It really does. Well, that's a lot to think about, but you know that's what Women's Spaces is all about. It's just a kind of thinking and kind of recognizing as women what is our place in the world. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I found this song. It's called I Believe I Can Fly, and I found the most wonderful, wonderful arrangement by one of my favorite singers, and that's the wonderful, wonderful late Etta James. Just a wonderful song. And I want to dedicate it to my young guest here, Keelan Walker. She's the youngest guest that I've had. She's 12 years old. I think she's the youngest young woman that I've had on the show. And I want to dedicate this song to her because I really believe in order for her to have accomplished what she accomplished, she first had to have a vision, and then she had to put her heart and her mind to work. So here we go. Let's listen to Etta James, I Believe I Can Fly. And when we return, we will be talking about this wonderful event that happened in China. Take care.
If I can see it, and that's the way I am like about anything, if I can see it, I can do it. To think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. Yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there is nothing to it. Oh, I believe I could fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings. Fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Was on the verge of breaking down. Yeah. Sometimes silence, it can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must achieve. But first I know it starts inside of me. If I can see it, I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about
Oh, what a song. You know, I was looking at it. First, it starts inside of me, and if I see it, I can believe it. You know, I feel that way about women's spaces. I can see peace on earth. I can see the children healthy and whole. I can see all the good things, but we all have to work for it. We have to go deep inside and ask ourselves, what can we do? And also just a little reminder about going inside. Remember to read the Women's Spaces Pledge that's on our website, www.womenspaces.com. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And that, in a way, can just propel us to many, many things. Well, for those of you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind you that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, the Board of Directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and with further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio is Keelan Walker, who recently competed in martial arts in, and I'm going to ask Nancy Wong to give us the right pronunciation, Chengdu China, and she competed in June 14th to the 18th of this year. Actually, Keenan is in the 6th grade and 12 years old, and we are going to talk about her experience during the competition and what led up to her participation. And joining me with her is her proud grandmother, Nancy Wang, who is a friend and one of the founders and the president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, who accompanied her beautiful granddaughter to China. What an honor this is to have her on our show, both of them on our show, and the honor that they brought to our community here in Sonoma County. So welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning.
Good morning, Keenan.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. You know, it's amazing to see this young 12-year-old girl just sitting here in our studio. And, you know, one of the things that most people don't know is that, you know, when I do the radio show, I'm always a nervous wreck. So just feel like you're in the comfort zone here, my friend. And before we start, I want to tell the listening audience just a little bit about you. Keelan Walker, she likes to be known as Kiki, is a 12-year-old and born in Santa Rosa. She attends the Potter Trace Terrace Elementary School as in the 6th grade. She recently competed in martial arts in China on June 14th to the 18th. She learned martial art under the guidance of master teacher Justin Eggert at the Wu Academy in Santa Rosa. She's been working there for 6 years now, so I guess you started when you were about 6 years old. She has competed in multiple competitions and receives a high cumulative score of 8, which really sounds like it's really a high thing. And Nancy Wang is her grandmother accompany her, and like I said, she's a friend. She's the president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, and she accompanied her daughter to her granddaughter to China. So welcome, welcome. So I have the first question for you, Keenan. I mean, this is what I want to know is, okay, now, wow, all the way to China. What was it like when you first got on that airplane and you know that you were actually on your way to competing? What were the feelings?
Well, I was super excited.
Okay, we're changing mics.
Okay.
We're down to 2 mics.
Go ahead.
Well, I was super excited and
a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
What were you nervous about?
It's international competition.
Oh my goodness, international. What does that mean, international?
Well, it's countries from all over the world.
Oh, really? So yeah. Do you remember any of the countries that you might mention?
Yeah. So I competed against Sri Lanka, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Egypt, fellow members from the USA, India, and New Zealand.
Oh, my goodness. Were they all in your age group?
Yeah, 12 to 15.
So what did it feel like seeing young girls like yourself, young people like yourself from other countries? What was that feeling for you?
It was great to see other people, to just see other people from other countries.
Were you a little bit nervous?
Like, yeah.
How were you going to perform?
Yeah. Definitely.
How did you overcome your nervousness? What did you like? Now I know you're nervous. Use the same skills. How did you overcome it?
I just breathed and focused.
Breathed and focused. It's just like the song said, if I can see it and I can believe it, I can do it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So what was your first event? What was the first thing that you did?
Well, the first event that I competed in was my hand form, Cha Tren. And there was 24 people competing.
And what happened? Where did you land?
I got third place.
Third place out of 24?
Yes.
How did you feel when you realized you got third place?
I was super excited and happy.
Oh, my goodness. I could just almost see it. You know, how did you prepare? You know, what do you do in order to prepare for a competition like this?
I trained with my fellow members at Wu Academy, and some of my teammates went to China with me, so we practiced together, and we fundraised, so then some people that didn't have enough money to go to China could.
So you not only had to work on competition, but mm-hmm. you also had to work on raising funds, and you also had the heart to realize that these fundraisers were going to help other people that could not go to the country, maybe could not afford it, but you folks all made it possible.
Mm-hmm.
You must be very proud of yourself.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you. I mean, that a young person like yourself doing that. Where did you get your confidence? I mean, all of a sudden, just visualize yourself. You're 6 years old. You know, all of a sudden, you're thrown into this kind of competition. What kind of mindset? How did you have to set your goals, and how did you have to set your thinking?
Before I started Kung Fu, I just watched other people do Kung Fu performing. And I was just like, I want to do that.
Oh, so you all of a sudden, you had the vision. You said, I want to do that. So then the next step was the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So how was the commitment? I mean, how did you train in that? And how was the commitment for you?
It was hard because I used to cry every single class.
Oh, my goodness. Now the truth comes out, Grandma's. Yeah. Grandma's thinking, what? Well, I think I would cry too, you know. I think I would be very nervous and all of a sudden. But how did you overcome it, even though you had that kind of feeling?
I just realized that it's not for, like, for people to do good. It's for you to be happy about it.
So, in other words, when you're engaged and you're doing it, you have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, how did you get to the point of enjoying it when you all of a sudden you know it's going to be all this hard work?
Just training hard and then meeting people that do it also. And then you just have things in common, and then you have fun with it.
So you had some mentors, so people in front of you could show you and could do it. Again, how did you get your confidence? What did you do? What did you tell yourself before you went in and started to compete?
I just said that I can do it.
I can do it. I can do it. You had the self-esteem.
Yeah.
That said, I can do it. Well, let's ask your grandma a few questions. Yeah. Nancy, let us know. I mean, this must have been a real proud moment for you. Tell us about what you felt like watching your granddaughter compete. I mean, was your heart in your feet? I mean, where was it?
Yes, it's pretty hard. You know, especially she had to get qualified before go to China. It's not that you just sign up. And at the Bay Area, South Bay, I was really shocked to see so many people she had to compete with in the, you know, special Bay Area and also all over to get a qualified to go. And we found out she's qualified to go. Then I said, okay, no problem. I will support you to go. And then after we went to China, look, the event, I was more shocking and proud of her. She can put herself together for that young age. I can tell, you know, that 24, even they say 12 to 15 years old, I think she was the youngest one. Most it's 14, 15 already.
Well, what advice did you give her as a grandmother?
Tell her, do your best, relax, and don't nervous. And you just do your best. Don't care about what kind of result you're going to have.
Yeah, you're going to love her anyway.
That's
exactly.
Right.
I think that's the most important thing.
It's true. Then she's the long fist called Changquan. It's a traditional Shaolin temple, and she got a third. But another event, she did a brow sore because I think the weather was so hot, no air conditioning. And the place is huge. I had to walk 3 to 4 miles a day just in the event to take her to register, to report back and forth, you know. And even her coach will say she's pretty tired, but she's still coming the fourth, you know, with all this compete with a brow sore. That's the hard part. We're traveling with all the weapon with us, you know, long travel, and we have very exciting to arrive in China because the flight was late. We missed the connect flight. We had to stay Taipei one night, and we made it to register in Chengdu, China, the last day.
How did it feel for you to be back in China visiting your home country?
Exciting. And Chengdu, it's really growing, and I was there. We were there 4 years ago. That's why I can showing her, she's not compete. I did take her to a couple of different places. We visited the panda. We signed up for the volunteer work with the panda in Chengdu. It was really exciting. Had the chance to feeding panda, clean their panda living place, and learning a lot of education how this place can relieve the panda to the wildlife.
So it sounds like you've really had an enriched experience that
yes.
was really wonderful. So let me ask Kenan one other question. Kenan, if there's a young girl out there like yourself, your age, even a little bit younger, I mean, you started at 6 years old, what advice would you give her? What would you tell her if maybe she's sitting on the sidelines saying, gee, like you said, I want to do it, but then again, all the little voices come in and say, oh, you'll never be able to do it, you're not strong enough or whatever. What advice would you have to give them?
Remember that to have fun and don't let nervousness overpower you.
You know, that's good advice. You know, I do public speaking, and that's one of the things when I teach public speaking, you know, that adrenaline that comes in, use it as a force. Would you agree? Rather than let it overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming to the end of our segment here, and I have to say it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and I really appreciate that you were able to come in, that you pushed yourself and both of you to come in onto Women's Spaces and to share this wonderful, wonderful success. And a special shout out to your teacher, Justin. You know, I've talked to him several times, and you know, it takes a real artist to work with children and to get them to the place they are. So any last words before we say goodbye? Anything you'd like to share about you, Nancy or Keelan? Anything at all you'd like to say?
No.
She's too shy. I will just say, do your best, you know, get the confidence. Actually, the Wu Academy, Justin really helped our granddaughter got today. You know, he's so patient with her. That's why she say she loved the martial art, but she just don't know it's so hard to train, right? But finally, she got it get into it and hard training. And he always encourage the young kids, don't give up. Do your best.
That's a good way to end this segment. Don't give up. Do your best. You know, folks, this has been a wonderful interview for me. When Nancy first told me about Kenan and then her, that she's going to China, that she's going to compete, that she won some of these, I think there was a medal she won, actually.
Yes, she had that.
Let's see, what is it? Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful medal. Oh, beautiful. And so this is for third place,
yes.
Right? And it's really something to be proud of. When Nancy first told me, I thought, you know, I've got to have this young woman on the show. And it's also an example. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. I mean, here's a grandmother, goes all the way to China. I mean, maybe not many of us, maybe we could not do that. But it's still an example of what it takes to raise a child, to give them that confidence, to give them the experience and the exposure to be able to accomplish. And then what happens? I mean, she may not go on with martial arts, but I can guarantee you that that confidence that she has built just going through this experience will help her through her life experience. Yes.
I just want to thank you, my daughter, my son-in-law, raised this wonderful, gorgeous granddaughter for us.
Oh, that's very sweet, Nancy. Well, again, it takes a mother, it takes a father, it takes a grandmother, it takes, like myself, a great-grandmother. It takes many, many things to develop these young people into what we want to see happen, people that are productive and contribute to the culture and to the world. But it's not going to happen if we don't give opportunity to young people. It's not going to happen if we don't recognize that each child is special, each child is important. You know, there's a saying in the Bible. I'm not a Bible person, but every once in a while I come up with a good quote, and it says that we're all born in the image of God, this great spirit, this great creator. And I think we need to treat all our children like that and remember that the children are our future, and without them, hey, we have no future. Well, that's a lot to talk about and a lot to think about. And I want to thank Keenan Walker and Nancy Wong for coming in and for sharing their story. And I know it was a real challenge. Now we're ready to get into another musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is Give Me Your Tired, Give Me Your Poor. A little reminder of who we are as the United States, sung by the West Los Angeles Children's Choir. And I think it's an appropriate song for my next guest. I will be talking to Sabria Briere, member of Indivisible in Sonoma County, and we'll be talking about Close the Camp movement that's happening and future rallies. So here, let's go ahead and listen to Give Me Your Tired and Your Poor, sung by West Los Angeles Children's Choir.
Like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand blows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Thank you.
You know, when I first found that song, all I could think of was my grandmother and her sister and her mother coming over third class from Russia. And when they hit America and saw the Statue of Liberty, they not only wept, but they kissed the ground when they got off the boat. We were in America. We're going to be free. The land of the free. The land of milk and honey. Amazing. Amazing. I think we all need to be reminded of what our country stands for and what we stand for. And that, in fact, we are all immigrants. I mean, there's nobody that I know that was born before. I mean, we all come from other countries to this land. I mean, it's that simple. You know, we've all come for freedom. For freedom and for opportunity, and we must always remember that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holt. I almost forgot my name. What a morning it's been. You know, I even turned on Facebook, and it's in another language, if you can imagine. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Sabria Briere from Indivisible. Welcome, Briere. Welcome here to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you. You know, this is your second time on Women's Spaces.
Actually, it's my third.
Oh, my God. See, I said you were a regular. My goodness. Thank you so much. I mean, you have so much to share for us with us. So let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Sabria Briere is a former Ann Arbor, Michigan resident. She moved to Sonoma County about 2 years ago now, right? Prior to moving here, she was a member of the Ann Arbor, Michigan City Council. She immediately, as she arrived in Sonoma County, got involved in the community and joined Indivisible Sonoma County at their first general meeting in January of 2017 and is currently on their advisory council. She is also an active member of the local Democratic Party and volunteers for the city. Anything else you'd like to add?
Being political is only part of what I can do.
What else can you do besides political?
I made a decision years and years ago to focus on things that were creative, so I'm a very creative cook. I can make things with my hands, from carpentry to weaving. And lately I've taken up learning how to use pastels to do pictures.
Well, it's amazing. Well, you know, when you're an activist, one of the things that you have to do is take care of yourself. And one of the ways to take care of yourself is to write, to be creative. I know I make these lavender sachets that I really get off on. Well, also, just a little bit more about you. Sabria is Sabra. Sabra. Boy, I'll tell you.
You keep adding an I for some reason.
Sabra. Like a Sabra.
No.
Sabra is a passionate about free speech, education, the environment, and civic responsibility, and brings her energy, her insights to local issues, and happy to say that, you know, like you've been on Women's Spaces several times. Well, before we go into close the camps, you know, what I'd like to do is tell the audience just a little bit about what Indivisible is and what they do and why you're so excited about it.
A lot of progressive organizations over the years have focused on electing people to office, and that's a really important part of being civically engaged. But once they're in office, somebody has to monitor them. Just to be honest, it's really easy when you're in office to only listen to other people in office or only a few people. And then you get people like me who are unhappy with the outcome of the people we've elected to office. So Indivisible was formed right after the 2016 election, not to change presidents, not to change members of Congress, but to literally engage the government, to hold our elected officials accountable. And while many members of Indivisible also work to elect or to change people who have been elected to office, as a whole, we serve a very important role in government, and that is paying attention to what our elected officials do once they're elected.
You know, I've often had this idea and this question, is especially with computers. Like, for example, if a bill comes up or something happens, why the representative can't just send out an email to everybody and take a poll vote to their constituents before they even make a decision? It seems like too much is just left up to them without any feedback or input.
Well, everybody has opinions about this. The truth is that you can indeed take a poll vote on every bill or every pivotal bill, but the real truth is that in theory and in practice, elected officials know a heck of, or have the opportunity to know a heck of a lot more about the impact of the bills than we do. And they should listen to us, but they should use the other information they have to make an informed decision. Because if you just listen to the crowd, honestly, we'd still have slavery. If you just listen to the crowd, we'd still be suppressing Catholics or Seventh-day Adventists. Because the crowd supported doing those things.
Well, like the crowd, some of the crowd is supporting doing what's happening at the border.
That's right. So listening to the crowd is not enough in an elected official. They absolutely have to have more information and use that information to make the right decision. And sometimes the right decision is not the popular one.
But at least to give the opportunity.
Absolutely, people should have the opportunity. And so in Indivisible, we say call your member of Congress to talk about this. Tell your member of Congress how you would like them to vote on this bill. Ask your member of Congress why she or he has not co-sponsored that bill. I mean, we can do those things. People have to make the phone calls.
Do you think, and you're thinking that that absolutely helps?
I have seen changes in behavior in Senator Feinstein, in Representative Thompson, in other people who aren't local, because they're getting pressure from progressive voices. Yes. Do I think it's enough? Oh, no, it's never enough. But and do I think people have to stop because now we've made our point? No, I don't. I think that you have to stay noisy.
But also, when I think about what you're saying, that's what democracy is all about. We can't just lay back and enjoy the benefits of it. We have to make sure that it stays in place and that we work for it. And, you know, right now, it was very interesting. I went down, you know, they had there was a national call to do a protest about, it's called Close the Camps, I believe. And it was really very, very interesting to me that I saw over 300 people show up on a Tuesday afternoon at noon. I thought that was very, very impressive. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know Indivisible is involved in that. And what is your opinion and why do you think it was important that people gathered?
I think what's going on with the refugee crisis, and frankly, we should stop calling them illegal immigrants. They're refugees.
What is the difference?
The difference is they are seeking asylum. They are refugees seeking asylum from violence in their home countries, from a government that doesn't give them rights. Some people are seeking asylum because of gangs that have attacked, threatened, and killed people. And the governments do nothing about it. Nobody's going to walk 2,000 miles carrying children because they're seeking to be an illegal immigrant.
Well, you know, it brings us back to especially my grandparents coming over from Russia and Poland. Actually, my grandmother, Holtz, on my father's side, she first came to America, and she didn't want to be here. So she went back to Poland with my father, who was an identical twin. And then World War I broke out, and again, persecuting the Jews, that she had to escape and come to the United States. And just imagine if she would have come off that boat, and the same things would have been happening to her that are happening on the border. My God, I wouldn't be here.
Well, I'll tell you, some of that did happen in the past. Boatloads of people fleeing Europe before World War II, just at the beginning of World War II, were turned away.
The SS St. Louis.
Yeah. There are people in Africa who are fleeing the difficulties their governments experience, and they're drowning in the Mediterranean because nobody will let them in. This is an issue, and we're going to see that this issue grows because there will, assuming all the projections are accurate, we're going to see climate refugees who can't live in their countries anymore because of the climate change that we're facing, the climate crisis. And they're going to be looking for some place they can live. They're not looking to take anybody's jobs. They're not looking to come here and work for 3 years and send the money home. They're looking for a way to survive.
They're looking for asylum.
They're looking for asylum.
Well, you know, it's also interesting, too, when you think about it. Ken and I just watched, actually, I watched it twice. We watched a series called The Buddha. And one of the things that really came clear to me around his teachings is that we are all children of the earth, that the earth is our home. And that we are really one people, we're almost one village living on the earth, and this separation is what creates problems. So here we have one border that's having a problem. They want to come on to the other side that's not having a problem, and then you have all this chaos instead of us recognizing that we are just people of the earth and we need to survive. We need to survive.
Well, we also need to confront the fact that our survival is not dependent on making certain other people don't survive.
Well, that's the most important point. Again, the haves and the have-nots. You can't have one person that has a lot and another person that's groveling with nothing. I mean, that's the feeling I get. And I cannot believe in my wildest dreams. I mean, I'm 79 years old. I was born into a free country. I was born during a war that we were fighting the worst type of we were fighting fascism, which was considered the worst type of government ever. And the lives that were lost because of it, and then all of a sudden to see this happening is mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
You know, I'm sure you can share that to me. Well, you know, what is this? Oftentimes you hear things like open borders, you know, that these are some of the solutions that are being offered. What do you see as some of the solutions, and what do you think about open borders?
A lot of our immigration policy is less than 100 years old. And it exists to keep people out, not to welcome people in. We had an immigration policy that kept people from China and Japan out. We had an immigration policy that kept people from Italy, from Russia, out. And we had those policies because we decided, our government decided in the past, that only a certain number of people from a certain number of places was allowed to enter, or they would drastically alter our Anglo-Saxon government by bringing in their other religions and their other habits and their other foods and their other names. I'm sorry, I get a little hot about this because my family fled Europe in the 17th century, in the early part. So we are early adopters of the colonies. and I look at the reasons why my family moved here and the reasons why other families want to move here. And it's always because they're looking for a place that's better. And yet our policy, our immigration policy, has been geared toward keeping people out, not welcoming them, not accepting change. It's to keep things from changing. And so that's a pressure that we have to acknowledge, is that our policies are geared to keep people out. Open borders, this whole idea of open borders would be to not have any difference between somebody living in the U.S. and somebody who aspires to living in the U.S. And over the years, I've watched people complain about the people who come here from Asia to give birth so their children will be American citizens. They're hedging their bets. I've heard people complain about the people who come here to work and send the money home to mama or ma or their wives or their children. And I've heard people complain about people from the Middle East coming and bringing the big fear. Even 5 years ago was Sharia law. The truth is, open borders is not something anybody is proposing. What people have talked about is whether it should be a felony to enter the country anywhere but at a specific set of spots. And the reason they're saying this is it used to be a misdemeanor. It's now a felony. And that allows our government to arrest the adults and separate them from their children because the adults have committed a crime.
Oh, so that's how they're doing it. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, that is so sad. I don't understand. What is the purpose of separating the children, though?
Well, because the parents have committed a crime, but there's separate law that says you can't hold children in a place with criminals. So, of course, their parents have committed a crime. They have to be separated.
Oh.
And then the fact that we didn't, as a government, choose to keep track of which children belonged with which parents and reunite people if they failed to achieve their goal of asylum. I can't believe it either, and it makes me so angry that we would do this because this is not the kind of behavior I expect from a government that I have supported you for 79 years, me for 69. Honestly, this is not the kind of government I have defended.
Well, it's really shameful, and I'm happy to see that people are starting to come out.
Don't forget there's another rally.
So let's talk about the next rally then.
That next rally is at 6 p.m. at Courthouse Square on Friday.
This Friday?
This Friday, the 12th.
Is that going to be a national also?
It is also national. It is a vigil.
It's going to be a vigil at 6 o'clock.
Let me confirm the time because, of course, you asked and I didn't have it in my brain. So it's very much the kind of thing that people can do when they are feeling impotent, and we all feel impotent about this. We know our government is not listening to us. And so we know that we have to make a lot more noise than we are. It is not enough to be on the radio talking.
But also, I just want to remind our listeners as one very important fact. If they can separate one child from one mother, they can do it to you, too. I mean, you never know. You know, that saying, first they came for the socialists, but I wasn't a socialist, so I didn't care. Then they came for the communists. I wasn't a communist. They didn't care. Then they came for the Jews. I wasn't a Jew. They didn't care. Then they came for me, and there was nobody there. I mean, you have to be aware of the fact that if they can do it to any one individual, they can do it to any individual. So it's very important that people do gather, do rally, do write their congressmen, write their senators, write their local people, say this is not acceptable. And also, you know, I take a hard line. I really take a hard line. If you gave birth to a child and you're holding that beautiful young gift in your arm, how can you not stand up for all children?
I don't know.
Because when you stand up for your own child, you're actually standing up for all children. When you stand up for all children, you're standing up for your own child. So it's very important that people participate. They say, no, this is not acceptable. And what you're not saying that the government shouldn't have an immigration law. You're not saying that the government should not take part in handling the situation that's going on in a legal and productive way.
No.
But what you're saying is the behavior of taking a child from a parent is just absolutely not acceptable.
Well, it's also not acceptable to have those children then taking care of other children they don't know, of there not being enough diapers or enough food or clean water to drink. It's not acceptable that people not receive medical care. I just wanted to say 6 p.m. in Petaluma at the Regional Library is the vigil, and Sonoma Plaza in Sonoma at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m. here at Old Courthouse Square, the vigil.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the segment, and I would like you to give your website and any other information. And I really want to thank you for bringing your not only your passion, but your compassion and also your empathy into the room and to explain this situation that's happening at our borders.
Thank you so much. For more information about Indivisible, our website is www.indivisiblesoco.com. We have a very energetic regional calendar.
Well, thank you so much. That's it for our show. A special thank you to Keelan Walker, who recently competed in martial arts and in China, and her grandmother, who accompanied her, Nancy Wang. And a special thank you to my guests, Sabra Briere, for being here from Indivisible. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now.